Amen. Let's thank God for this. I don't know what to call them today. This praise band. That's what they are. Let's thank God for the praise band. Amen. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 9. Let's start at verse 16. Amen. Daniel 9 and 16. So good to see you all this morning. So good to be in the house of the Lord for another week. Can't take anything for granted. Don't take a minute or a day for granted in this fallen, broken world that we live in. So, Lord, help us not to take anything for granted, but to thank you for each and every day. Lord, speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to live a submitted, surrendered life in a dark, fallen, broken, decaying world. Thank you that your word, it leads, it guides us, Lord. Let us take your word seriously. Let us meditate on it day and night so we can be like that tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bring forth the fruit in its season, so our leaf won't wither and whatsoever we do shall progress. Only comes through meditating on your word day and night. And we thank you, Lord, as we meditate on it, that we would apply it and live by it. Speak to us now through your word. Holy Spirit, continue to rule and reign throughout this service. We love you on today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Family, you know, as the year is coming to a close, somebody say amen. Can you believe it already? So let's finish strong. Let's not get distracted. Let's continue to stay in our Proverbs daily. You have 1 Corinthians daily. I'm going to add a prayer to it daily as well today. And so let's just continue to stay diligent. Let's not fall off going into the new year. Somebody say amen. Amen. Yeah, let's not fall off. Let's not get distracted by the world. The world's going to do what the world does. Amen. Amen. But we have to stay diligent as God's people. God's called us to be salt, to be light, and to be love. So let's make sure that we are doing that. Amen. So this whole series, we've been on the new and the old for I don't know how long, but we've been on it. And so we've gone through the Colossians to the Psalms to the prayer. So we're still in prayer. We're in Daniel. Daniel reads what was written to Jeremiah. He realizes that the same things that got him into captivity are the same things they're still doing. They're about to come out. But it's tough to shake the world, family. If we don't stay diligent, the same things that we would fall captive to and held us bound, if we don't stay diligent to God and to the word, we will slide right back into those things like it's routine. So we have to stay diligent. Daniel goes into prayer. Remember, all the heroes of faith, including you and I, we have to have a strong prayer life. If you don't have that strong connection to God, you will find yourself wavering and falling apart and doubting and moving backwards as opposed to moving forward. So we pick it up in verse 16, Daniel 9 and 16. He starts off by saying, Lord, O Lord, according to all your righteousness. We got into that last week, that it's not our righteousness. We found out that our righteousness is like filthy rags. We were kind of disappointed that the best we could do is bring God a dirty, soiled diaper with all of our works. But that's as good as it gets outside of Christ. Amen. So not according to our righteousness, but God's righteousness, because we also found out in Romans that there's none righteous, no, not one, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we need God. That's why Daniel's praying according to God's righteousness And he's begging. I'm begging you. Let your anger and your fury be turned away from the city of Jerusalem. It was three things I discovered in Daniel's prayer. He talks about the goodness of God, and then he confesses sin. And then he begs God. So you have the ABCs of salvation that they teach you at an early age if you were brought up in church, which I wasn't, but I later on accept, believe, and confess. But here's the three according to this prayer. The awesomeness of God. When you pray, make sure you have a mix. You should have a beautiful mix of the awesomeness of God. The B is begging God. And then the C, of course, is confessing sins. So you notice this in Daniel's prayer. You got the awesomeness. You never pray without acknowledging how awesome God is, how incredibly awesome God is and amazing that God is. And according to your righteousness, Lord, I'm begging you, not according to my righteousness. Notice he's not asking for stuff. He's acknowledging who God is and how right God is. And then he starts begging. And then he gets into the confession of sins. I'm begging you, let your anger and your fury be turned away from the city Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and the people are become a disgrace. We talked about the similarities to our country now, to all that are about us, all those that are around us. Why? Because of our sins and our iniquities. Iniquities are just perverseness. When you just say, I'm going to do my own thing and I don't care about God. It's a whole nother level of sin. That's why it's separate from sin. It's iniquities when I'm just going to do my thing, deliberately do my thing. Verse 17. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servants. So make a note that God hears prayers. And hear my petitions. And cause your face to shine upon the sanctuary. It talks about the presence of God's, the presence of God glowing throughout this sanctuary. Add that to your prayer, that when we would come week after week, Sunday and Wednesday, that the presence of God would glow and it would touch every heart and mind that would come in here. Hear our prayers, Lord. Hear our petitions and cause your face, your presence to glow in this sanctuary that is, bless you, that is devastated. And do it for your sake, Lord, not for our sake, but because we are your people. They were devastated. Oh, my God. Verse 18. Bend your ear and hear. Open your eyes and behold our devastation. And the city which is called by your name, for we do not present our supplications before you for our righteousness, but for your great mercies. You look at it, great mercies, because of your abundant compassion. Make sure you make a note of that. You ever thought about the character of God, the nature of God, the attribute of God, abundant in compassion? Verse 19. O Lord, hear. This is one I want you to add to your prayer time this week. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and do. Don't delay for your own sake, O my God. For thy city and thy people are called by your name. We add that and we add that to our prayer and So we're praying for our families and we're praying for our kids and around this Thanksgiving time. And we got to see people that family members that we might not like. Oh, Lord, I'm begging, but you need to be praying for them. Remember, the more that we pray, the less we complain. And the more that we pray according to God's righteousness, then we see as God sees it. We can't point out all someone else's fault and then stay at home and commit our itty bitty tiny sins and think that I'm better than anyone. There's not one that's righteous. No, not one. So I'm begging God to hear and to forgive and to see and to listen and don't delay. I'm begging for my marriage. I'm begging for my kids, my family, my siblings, my brothers, my sisters, my church. The guys I play ball with at the gym, the kids I go and work with at the school, somebody say amen. I'm begging on their behalf. Yes, yes, yes. Without God, we're not going to make it. All this other stuff really doesn't matter. It's about seeking to save those that are lost through the power of the Holy Spirit with the help of God. That's why he's begging. Daniel says, I really got to get serious. He takes his prayer to another level. As we finish 2016 and going into 2017, let's take our prayer to another level. Amen. Look, it even gets better. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, make a note of that. He's not asking for nothing. He's not asking for that car. He ain't asking for no house. He's asking for nothing. He's asking God while I was praying and confessing my sin. We lost a lot of people right there. It's like, oh. While I was speaking and praying, make a note. What is it? Isaiah 65:24 says, before I call, you will answer. And while I'm yet speaking, you will hear. So here we are. We talked about spiritual warfare. So here we are. We're interceding. We're praying. You have to understand that God is hearing your prayers. Only reason I don't pray is if I don't believe God hears me and I'm wasting my time. But you got to declare the awesomeness of God. You have to beg God and you have to confess your sin. Only thing that prevents us from getting close to God is our sin, the unconfessed sin in our life. That always throws a monkey wrench into the situation. That's why Adam and Eve that we read the other week, while they were hiding and blaming each other because of the sin. Before that, they walked with God each and every day. As soon as the sin comes in, I got to cover up. I got to hide. I got to get away from God. I can't come to church. I don't want to talk to nobody in the church. Enemy plays that game. Same game he played with them, he plays with us. It says specifically in Genesis 3 that they hid from the presence of God because of sin. That's why Daniel's confessing his sin. That's why he's asking for the presence of God. Family, I hope we never want to hide from the presence of God. We want the presence of God. Amen. That's why you confess it and forsake it. It's not like what you're doing is worse than anybody else. The word says if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. We all have sinned. That's why we need Jesus Christ, because we don't have it together. If we could get it together, we wouldn't need God. Verse 20, and while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin, I love that. That's a real prayer right there. That's a real connection with God. God, I'm jacked up. I'm coming clean, God. You know it already. You know what I need even before I ask. I'm coming clean, God. So I'm speaking and I'm praying. I'm talking to God just like I talk to one of you all. Speaking and talking to God just like when I talk with some of the brothers and we talk, man, what's going on, man? I'm jacked up, man. This is what I'm struggling. This is what I'm doing. A real relationship. Not a superficial relationship, but a genuine relationship. We get past the surface and it stays there. It don't go out into the halls of the church. Somebody say amen. It's a genuine relationship. And I love that. That's the relationship I want to have with God. Where I come and say, God, I'm jacked up. God, you know I'm struggling. God, I'm doing well and I thank you. Whatever it is, but I'm coming to God transparent. And while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin, the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of God, verse 21, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man, and we know that to be the angel Gabriel, who I'd seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening offering. Touched me about the time of the evening offering. Oh, it's getting good now. And he informed me, listen to this, and he informed me, and he talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, I'm come now forth to give you skill and understanding. Skill in understanding as it's interpreted. Verse 23, make a note. At the beginning of your supplication, the word came forth. He got to Daniel in the evening offering, but he said, at the beginning, when you first start praying, Brother Anthony, the word came forth. for. I didn't get to you till the evening, but when you first start praying, the answer was already sent. Family, don't give up too soon. Don't give up too soon, and this is going to get better. I guarantee you, God's going to reveal some things this morning. Don't give up too soon. At the beginning of your supplication, the word came forth. Now I'm come to show you forth, for you are greatly beloved. Underline that too. Sometimes we think, how could God love me after I've done all this? And because I'm thinking about this, and because I did this or said that, stop that. Stop letting Satan put that in your head. You are greatly beloved. Not just a little bit, but God told us we are his special treasure. In the midst of us navigating through life and going through our ups and downs, we have a tendency to think that God couldn't love me. I'm so unlovable. I messed up. I didn't do this. I did that. I said this. I thought that. Number one, there's not one righteous. And that's why we need Jesus Christ. So stop beating yourself up, because when the angel finally gets there and talks to Daniel, and you hear how Daniel's begging and he's crying, he's confessing his sin, he's coming clean, his heart is connected to God. He said, look, man, while you were going through all that, and Daniel is even depressed, while you were going through that, the word, when you first started praying, I'm going to show you that in just a minute, the word that came forth, man, you greatly beloved, God loves you. Family, if you don't get anything else, God loves you so much. The world doesn't understand that type of love. They're trying to get it out of stuff, but God is love. Not the twisted, perverted love, but true, genuine, heart-to-heart, agape, connected love. And he loves us so much. And it's not arrogance, because it's not because of us, but it's because of him. He first loved us. All right, so look. Greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and understand the vision. Okay? All right, now let's look at something. All right, Lord, where do we want to go here? All right. Let's go to 10 and 2. Daniel 10 and 2. In those days, I, Daniel, so we got this is the prequel. So what we just heard was Daniel praying. We get bullet points of the prayer, and this is the process now. So now we're going to the process. In those days, while I was mourning 3-4 weeks, make a note of that, 3 weeks. Daniel was mourning. He was kind of depressed. He was feeling way down. Now, remember, when he first started his prayer, the word was sent. And he's talking now 3 weeks. All right. So Daniel said, I was out of it for 3 weeks. But look what he does in verse 3. So make a note. What do you do when you're feeling down and depressed and just, man, I'm just having a tough time? I ate no pleasant bread. I didn't eat anything that was desirable. You say, Pastor, you lost me on that one. I know. All right. Pastor, you had me till you said I can't eat anything that's good. Daniel said for 3 weeks, though, this is one of the Daniel fasts, right? He didn't eat bread, neither came flesh nor wine. Oh, Pastor, I can't drink. You really lost me now. You had me. I could do with bread and without the flesh, but without my wine, Pastor, you lost me. Amen. But he said, I didn't, no flesh, no bread, no wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 weeks were fulfilled. 3 weeks. So basically, he fasted for 3 weeks. And we know that Daniel fast is fruits and vegetables. Amen. And water. So he did the Daniel fast for 3 weeks. No, I'm not going to call it Daniel fast, because we pray and fast every morning. All right. Verse 4, and in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, or the Tigris River. We got that. All right. So here we go. Let's go to Daniel 10 and 10. So Daniel has an encounter with an angel while he's approached by the angel. He falls out flat on his face, laying, what do we call, prostrate. We pick it up at verse 10. And behold, an angel touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. So he was laid out like this, and now he's, I might not be able to get back up, so, okay? But now he's on his hands and knees, amen? Y'all get that, right? Okay? No, pastor might not be able to get back up. Verse 11, he said unto me, Daniel, a man greatly beloved. I told you we got bits and pieces. We got bullet points in the prayer, but here's the process. Here's the conversation. Understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Underline, I stood trembling. What it says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an awesome God. When we stand before God, we're not going to be there telling God, well, why did you do this? Or why did you do that? Or, no, you're going to be standing there and you're going to be trembling. You're not going to give God a piece of your mind and tell him why he didn't do this and why did he allow this. You're not going to be doing all that. Look, go back up. Look at verse 7, 10 and 7. I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking. All right. A great terror fell upon them so that they fled to hide themselves. You're going to be trying to hide from God. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to be trying to hide. But we know in Revelation 20, there was no place found for them to hide. Amen. You're not going to stand before God and tell God what you think. Natalie, let's go to Isaiah 6 and 1. Let's see Isaiah's encounter with God. Then we're going to come back to this. We have the wrong idea. And man think that he created God. Man didn't create God. Remember, we saw last week that we are the clay and God is the potter. We got this thing mixed up. You're going to stand before God and going to tell God what you think and why this happened and why you should have done that. And it's not fair. How is Jesus the way, the truth, and the life? I don't agree with that. Hey, that ain't your call. The world is fooling themselves. They're going to stand there. They're going to be trembling. And they're going to be like Isaiah. Verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with the two he did fly. And he cried unto another, and he said, Holy, 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 the Lord of hosts. God is three times holy. You're not going to stand with all your sin and say, why this or why that, to a three-time holy God. You're not going to do it. And look at this. The whole earth is full of his glory. God, I didn't know you existed. Are you crazy? The whole earth is full of his glory. The sun, the wind, the moon, the stars, the rain, the cold, the hot, the heat, the seasons. The whole earth, the whole world is full of his glory. And you're going to try and tell him you didn't think he existed? It's not going to go down like that. Make sure you note that. Every time you see a waterfall, every time you see an ocean, every time you go to the beach, every time you see that moon that's bright, every time you see the sun that comes up, every time you feel the warmth of the sun, every time you hear a bird chirp, every time your heart beat and you take a breath, the whole earth is full of his glory. Thing just didn't happen. No Big Bang Theory. And the posts of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, whoa. When I looked up the interpretation for whoa in the Hebrew, it's our oh, like the kids do now when you're talking, they go, oh. Hey, that's kind of them just cutting you off in mid-sentence. Like, you know, I need you to do the dishes, and oh. So this is Isaiah. He said, oh, for I am undone. He said, man, I'm finished. He says, man, I am jacked up. He saw God. He said, oh, my goodness, I'm jacked up. can't believe it. I can't believe I let the world convince me that God didn't exist. When folks transition, open their eyes on the other side, they're going to be, oh, no. I'm done. I'm finished. Can't believe I let the world convince me that there was no God. I'm jacked up because I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King. Notice that's highlighted. Not the president. Don't be freaking out over a president. You need to be worried about when your eyes see the King. Don't worry about a president. We pray for the president. I'm into the King. And he said, the Lord of hosts. Find that because it broke down the Lord of hosts. Where's my Isaiah at? The Lord of hosts. So that's the existing one and the host. When you put the whole word, when you look at the Hebrew and the host, it says the entire creation preparing for spiritual warfare. He said, I'm jacked up. I see the entire creation preparing for spiritual warfare. The King and entire creation preparing for spiritual warfare. That's what he saw and said, I'm jacked up. I see all of God's army preparing for spiritual warfare. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst a people of unclean lips. I'm jacked up. Wow. All right, let's go back to Daniel. Let's go back to Daniel 12. You there, say amen. Amen. Daniel 10 and 12. Hope I said that correctly. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, don't be afraid. Okay, you're in front of God, but you are right standing with God because of Jesus Christ. That's you and I. But Daniel was right before God because he had confessed his sin. And look what he tells him. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that you did, underline this, set your heart to understand. Understand means to perceive, to discern, to have insight. And to humble yourself, or chasten, it says chasten, but that means to humble. From the first day that you did, set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God. The words were heard and I'm come forth for your word. All right. I was trying to figure out, was it because he was fasting and praying that God responded? That's not exactly true, because you cannot eat. You can go to your job and not eat, right? You get busy. I didn't eat. People do that all the time. But it said when he set his heart and he humbled himself, he set his heart to understand all about God. And then God heard him and he humbled himself. See, pride is what keeps us from God. We can never get through the pride to touch God, to touch God's heart. He humbled himself. He sought his heart. Underline that. It was his heart was in it. God, I need to know you. I need to understand you. I confess my sins. God, I'm coming clean. I'm opening my heart before you. God responded. The praying and fasting came too, but it was because his heart was in the right place. We can pray and fast all day. Our heart could be so far away from God. If we're just going through the motions, you might as well eat. Go get a steak dinner. Amen. Might as well get a steak dinner. Winter, winter chicken dinner. Why not? Okay. But if your heart's not in it, then you need to stop. Because all you're doing is skipping a meal. But when his heart was set, God responded. And the praying and the fasting was just an indication of him humbling himself before God. Not to get a response from God. His heart was already in the right place to get the response. And he humbled himself. And then he prayed and fasted. And then the word was sent. Look at verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, which we know to be Satan in the translation, withstood me 120 days. God's trying to send the word, and the spiritual warfare is taking place. Isaiah said he saw the Lord of hosts, which is the creator, preparing for spiritual warfare, the king, which we know to be Jesus Christ. Here's the angel telling Daniel, God sent the word, but for 21 days, Satan was trying to prevent me from getting this word to you. Family, don't give up too soon. And then look at the math. I know we're not good at math in this church, but I'm going to give you another chance. How many days? Well, let's do math and calendar stuff, too. Maybe that'll help you all out. All right. How many days in a week? Daniel said he prayed and fasted for how many weeks?
Three.
And then 3 times 7 is? Ooh, we're getting better. Praise the Lord. Right? And then look, and here it goes. Verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. So by the time you were praying and fasting and not giving up and pouring out your heart to God, there's war going on in the heavenlies to get that word to you so you don't give up. Family, don't give up too soon. You talk about being protected from danger, seen and unseen. It's a war going. If we could see in the heavenlies right now, we'll see people dying going to heaven, people dying going to hell, and we'll see the spiritual warfare going on trying to prevent the word from getting to you and me that God has for us. Don't give up too soon. There's a battle going on. Paul talks about it in the book of Ephesians. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. He said, put on the whole armor of God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's a lot going on. The spiritual warfare all around us. He said, I'm battling with this for 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. So here's another angel. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thee, thy people, in the later days, for yet the vision is for many days. And we know that Daniel does an end time prophecy, and you compare it with the book of Revelations. God was giving him insight to write this so we know what goes on, the spiritual warfare that goes on, why we need to pray, why we need to fast, why we need to stay close to God, because there's spiritual warfare going on. God's already sent the answer because God is outside of time. God's outside of time. If we go to heaven, it's just a day. That's why the word says a thousand years is like a day, and a day is like a thousand years. You'll be up there 1,000 years. You don't know if it's a day or not. You don't even care, as a matter of fact. What they say that the funeral, if they could come back now, they wouldn't. They don't care. They're up there. They're celebrating. They're rejoicing. They don't know if it's been 1,000 years or a day that went by. It's the same. God's outside of time. He's already sent the answer, and the spiritual warfare is going on. Family, we got to be diligent. And not give up. Keep praying for your marriage. Keep praying for your kids. Keep praying for your ministry. Keep praying for your church. Keep praying for your family. You just don't know the spiritual warfare that's going on. Don't give up. Pray and fast daily. Stay diligent as we finish. Don't let the enemy convince you that your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. Make sure your heart is connected with God. Make sure you've humbled your heart. And you're seeking God. We don't have to be afraid. We're greatly beloved. Verse 15. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and I became dumb. I became silent. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. This is verse 16. Then I opened my mouth and spoke and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the visions, my sorrow are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. Simon, I just fell apart. We're not going to be posturing in front of God. We're not going to do that. You lose all strength. And it speaks to that in verse 8. When he first saw God, he just had no strength. For how come, verse 17, for how come the servant of the Lord, of this my Lord, talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. God, I am in all of your presence. Boy, that's the power of God, isn't it? We're not going to be saying anything but, oh, I'm jacked up. Verse 18, let's finish with this, 18 and 19. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he straightened me and said, oh, man, greatly beloved. You got to underline that. How many times does God have to remind you in a day how much he loves you? Amen. So you won't. He's falling apart. He has no strength. He can't. Man, you are so loved. I guess that's how it is. Even within a marriage, how many times should you tell your wife or your spouse you love them during the course of the day? As many times as you can. I never get tired of God telling me how much he loves me. We should never get tired of telling each other how much we love each other. How many times should we tell our kids we love them during the course of the day? You know, I got to get you with this one. How many of you have kids? How many of you ever seen a kid? All right. How many times should we tell our kids during the course of a day that we love them? Look at this. Look at 19. Get these principles. Get these principles down. And he said, oh, man, greatly beloved. Number one, we greatly beloved. Fear not. We do not have to be afraid of God. Peace be unto you. Be strong. Yeah, be strong. There you go. Now, you know, in the Hebrew text, correct, Pastor Manny, when it's repeated twice, it's like an exclamation. For whatever reason, God is saying, don't be afraid. You're loved. Don't be afraid. Peace be unto you. But in the midst, family, I'm telling you, in the midst, be strong, be strong. Why? Because there's a spiritual warfare going on. I love you. Don't be afraid. I'm giving you peace, but you got to be strong. You got to stand. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. Somebody say amen. And said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Our strength comes from the Lord, not in and of ourselves, not on our own, but it comes from God. We'll stop right there and we'll pick it up next week. Amen. If you would, just bow your head just for a minute. Wow, Lord, what a word, what a word. Did I say happy Thanksgiving? All right, happy Thanksgiving. All right, all right. It's a Thanksgiving message that we're greatly beloved. That God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Please share this scripture with somebody who's fallen apart based upon this world, this fallen, broken world system. Thank you, Lord, that we're greatly beloved. We don't have to be afraid. You've given us peace. You've given us a calm delight. And then you tell us to be strong. And then you give us the strength to be strong. Be strong, be strong, because you've made us strong. As we navigate through a fallen, broken world. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a glimpse into the spiritual warfare that's going on. And the power of prayer, the power of intercession, the power of fasting. The beauty of having a broken and open and humbled heart and seeking God, how you respond to that. How you are the Lord of hosts, the King, preparing his creation for spiritual warfare. My God. Thank you for your insight this morning, Lord. Thank you for the strength to go another day. Another week, another month, another year. Thank you that we are greatly beloved. Lord, I want to pray for anyone who might be here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. You might be here and say, Pastor, I come to church, but I've never made that connection to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, to accept Jesus Christ. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate. I need to connect my heart back to God's heart. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you and with you. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I just been visiting. I've never made the decision to become a member of South Bay Abundant Life Church, but today I want to do that. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you. We'd love to have you as part of this family. We're not members, we are family. Lord, how we thank you, how we bless you, how we love you. Thank you for the challenge that's gone forth, Lord. And thank you for the power to do it. We accept it, Lord, as your beloved, as we're greatly beloved. We know how much you love us, how much you care about us, how you've already sent the answer. If we haven't received it, it's because there's spiritual warfare going on. But let us not give up. Let us not lose hope. Let us not fall apart. Let us keep praying and fasting and seeking and keeping our hearts connected to yours. We love you, Lord. We thank you and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, just before we dismiss, we've been studying the book of Numbers and Acts, as you all know. But at the end of Numbers chapter 6, it was just an incredible blessing. So this is the blessing that I'll send you all off with for Thanksgiving. I told them on Wednesday nights I might start doing that at the end of service, depending on the time. But it's Numbers. Are you still there? Natalie, can you pull up Numbers 6, 24 through 27? Starting at verse 22, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this way you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, verse 24, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. In Jesus' name, happy Thanksgiving, and give somebody a hug. Be blessed, and you are dismissed.
About something this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking your unconscious behavior defines who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, you know, your unconscious mm-hmm. actions, like unconsciously right. holding the door open for somebody, unconsciously mm-hmm. blessing somebody's day.
Right. That's truly.
That's true.
Yeah. That gives you an indication of where your heart is at, right? Because even if I do it consciously, but my heart isn't there,
yeah,
see, then that's
the right thing.
There you go. Right.
Do it unconsciously.
Mm-hmm. And then, the difference with that between the conscious and the Holy Spirit comes from God, the conscious comes from us, right? But with that, When you're able to match the Holy Spirit with your conscious, where you're acting through the Holy Spirit, see, that's the ultimate, right? Because some people just have a good conscience and they're good like that. But if they're not connected to God, then there's no salvation in it. But for you and I, what we consciously think about or don't think about or don't do or do, that lets us know where we're headed with God. Because you can have people who come to church and do this, but consciously, yeah. They could care less, man. So, yeah. Always be tapped into that. Because, see, I got to check myself, too. Even, like, when I'm driving. My unconscious behavior when I'm driving. See, I got to check that. Because I'm like, I you say things about people, you know, I'm not cursing, but I'm calling people idiots and stupid. And I'm like, okay, Lord, that's not even cool. Yeah, you know, my, and I'm driving, and you'll never know. But, see, I know what's going on here. And that's when I check myself. That is unconscious behavior that says a lot about me when I'm driving. Yeah. Ha 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 ha.